You can put it down a bit. Raise this. There we go. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat. We've been trying to remind ourselves on a daily basis, every day, to try to take this opportunity, the month of Ramadan, to revive the souls that throughout the year, the dust and the filth of this dunya gradually starts to form a layer and sometimes becomes a very thick layer over our hearts. And we lose that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We lose our concentration on the actual goal of our creation, and unfortunately a lot of other things become goals in our lives, become very important in our lives, and we spend our lives on them. And God forbid we start to become, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an adab that's one of the worst forms of adab. One of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Qur'an, which is very scary for the believers especially, is a concept that is referred to as istidraj, sanastadrijuhum. Okay. It says that the disbelievers, you see, you know, some of the kuffar countries got a lot more than the Muslims do, don't they? I mean, that's part of the reason why, I know, it's enjoyable to live out here compared to the Middle East, right? There's a lot more that you can find here. Even at least part of the country, I haven't traveled the whole country, but a lot of the country, much of the country, the natural resources, the beauties, it's really nice, you know. Beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given so much. You go and visit, I don't know if you visited different parts of the country, but like Northern Virginia, for example, upstate New York, some very beautiful places, Northern California, Washington State, other parts, these are just examples. A lot of beauty, God has given a lot. Natural resources. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't think that what we're giving to them is خَيْرًا لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. We're giving more to them so they can get engaged in more ithm, in more sins, make their hearts filthier, and earn more punishment. God forbid. God forbid if God let go of us and says, you know what, you're on your own, do whatever you want. Sometimes He keeps giving us. You want it? All right. You want the dunya? Here you go. I'll give it to you. I'm not going to hold back. I'll give it to you. Gradually, what felt, what touched our hearts, the joy of speaking about the Ahlul Bayt, hearing the words of the Ahlul Bayt, hearing about Sayyid al-Shuhada and tears coming, it's no longer there. They want to talk about that. Oh, I think, you know, these are traditions that are not really found in Islam. Beating your chest is not really Islamic. People start coming up with that type of stuff as well and make excuses. God forbid if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves us to ourselves and gives us the blessings of this dunya so that we forget about the hereafter, we forget about Him. They say some of the ulama, they were very particular. Every now and then when they realized for a pretty long time they hadn't gone through any hardship, no illness, nothing painful, they would start getting scared. They would get really scared and say, God forbid we've been left to ourselves. Okay. So this month, inshallah, we take this opportunity to try to revive that soul again. Remove the filth, the veils that have come over the heart, inshallah. In doing so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the only path is worship, servitude, becoming true slaves, abid, becoming the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trying to follow the footsteps of the Holy Prophet that was proud of being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces him as the abd, the most perfect servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So servitude, doing exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in our lives, is extremely important. That's what we need to try to develop in ourselves. In doing so, we said, and we started talking about the prayer and some of the adhkar in the prayer and how they can help us try to better understand who we are, that in actuality, in reality, we are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nothing of ourselves. Everything belongs to Allah. We are the property of God. We are truly the real property of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has its own explanation. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything and everyone belongs to God. We need to understand that. Prayer helps us. And also it helps us understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And we try to go over some of that. I can't continue that. Just a couple of reminders, because we wanted to get into family issues. And actually last night was supposed to be the first night, but I couldn't leave those couple of dhikrs that I felt important to talk about. But a couple other lines that I feel also important before we enter the family issues and how that ibadah has got to be part of our family life as well. There are two things besides the wajib prayers that are very crucial in developing us spiritually. One is the nafila prayers. Nafila means extra. The prayers that are not wajib, we don't have to perform them. We've been given the option. You can perform them and it's recommended, or you could leave them. These prayers have got an enormous impact on us. Most importantly, the night prayers. You know, what we have mentioned in the Holy Quran, out of all the teachings that we have in Islam, there's only a select few that are discussed in the Holy Quran. If you want the full package of what we have, the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then you got to look at our collections of hadith as well. And if you look at that, only one collection, which is a compilation, a recent compilation, it's a few previous books that have been put into one. It's referred to as Wasa'il al-Shia. Okay. Wasa'il al-Shia. The current print of this book is 30 volumes. Okay. All the instructions that you want in terms of how to fast, when you travel, what the rulings are, when you pray, where do you pray qasr, where is it full, family issues, ibadah issues, hajj issue, all of those, the details, all of them are found in this book. And there's another book called Biharul Amwal, which is 110 volumes, all right? So These are the teachings that we find from the Ahlul Bayt. These are the Islamic teachings. Only a select few are in the Holy Quran. And that shows the importance of what is covered in the Holy Quran. All right. So if you find something that is a recommendation that is in the Holy Quran, we should realize that that's a very, very important recommendation. Now, when we come to the night prayer, Salatul Layl, the Nafilah of the night, we see many, many mentions of it. In Surah Al Imran, there is mention of it, that the believers are the ones, the ibad, are the ones that during the time of Sahar, before Fajr time, which is a very, very important time to worship, to have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are in the state of istighfar. They're asking forgiveness. You know, throughout the day, we're very busy with the dunya. The prayers try to keep us on the track, but it's not enough. In the loneliness of the night, the darkness of the night, when everybody is asleep, if we try to find a corner, people are not around, try to have that personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's plenty of du'as, especially we refer to du'a Abu Hamza al-Thumali. It's mentioned that's for that particular time. It's for Sahar. You can recite it other times as well, but it's very recommended for this particular time. So the believers wake up at that time of night and they are at that point seeking forgiveness, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their repentance and to guide them. And in another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Holy Prophet, he tells him to perform the nafilah at that time of night. It says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Through this nafilah, performing this nafilah, God may raise you to a status that is considered mahmud. When God says a status of a person is something that person is worthy of praise, okay, God says this person is worthy of praise, that means it's really something. The status of the person is really something, okay. So he says that this nafilah can lead to that. There's plenty of effects that the night prayer has. I don't know, I'm not the right person maybe to try to emphasize this. You would need the ulama, the urafa to talk about this. But they say that we should try to make this a routine in our life. We should try to make this an everyday thing. Every night we try to get up. And if we don't, we have lost the plot. That's one thing, very briefly, I wanted to mention. Another thing that's extremely crucial in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our servitude to Him, in learning to become slaves, and receiving helps for that, is tawassul of the Ahlul Bayt. Tawassul, tawassul, tawassul. Extremely important. Without that, it's not even possible. It is not possible. You think you want a communication with God. You want to have a relationship with God. You want to get close to Him. Yeah, you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt, it is impossible. It's not doable. Man arada Allah bada'a bikum. Ziyarat Jami'a Kabira. An amazing ziyarah. There's a lot of teachings. One of the ulama kept repeating this line once we had a session. He was trying to remind us on some akhlaqi points, spiritual points. He said, look, we don't even know who the Ahlul Bayt are. You think we're going to know who God is? We really don't know who the Ahlul Bayt are. Our understanding of the Ahlul Bayt, we know there's something special about them. Hopefully we've come to that understanding. Unfortunately, during the time of the Ahlul Bayt themselves, a lot of the companions themselves who have accepted them as an imam, really didn't see this about them, really didn't understand that they're extraordinary. There's loads of hadith on this. There's one that's, I kind of find funny. It's a really funny story. I mean, I find it funny, in a sense. One of the companions of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, I'm debating with myself if I should mention his name or not. It's in history. His name is Zurara, a very well-known companion. Very well-known companion. We have a lot of ahadith from him. So we owe him a lot. He's given us a lot of instructions, teachings from the Ahlul Bayt. There's one account in Al-Kafi, it's mentioned twice, and then in another book called Rijal al-Kashi, it's also mentioned. So this is verified information. He has a discussion with the Imam, which, I don't know, again, this is my first time in this community. I haven't gotten too many of your questions to know what you guys think about this, but I've, in other parts of the world, especially in the UK, this is one of those hot topics. I know elsewhere as well, and if you guys, for some of the audience, their home country, if we may say, this is a hot topic. Are we supposed to, are the followers of the Ahlul Bayt supposed to consider those who are of other sects of Islam as Muslims or not? This is a question that some people have. For some people it's not, it's clear to them, yeah, you know, we're all Muslim. For some people they have a question. This debate is actually between, it's a debate, all right? It turns into a heated debate between Zurara and the Imam. Where Zurara says, those who don't believe in your wilayah, and this is the funny part, those who don't believe in your wilayah are kafir according to the Holy Quran. And the Imam tells them that no, they're not kafir. They are believers, they are Muslimin that are uninformed, misinformed about what actually happened. So they're not kuffar. And it's funny, he's talking to the Imam, he's discussing and debating this with the Imam, that whoever doesn't accept you is a kafir. And the Imam is saying that's not the case, he's not accepting it. I don't know how that works out, but this is how limited the understanding of the people at that time was. They couldn't understand the concept of ilmul ghayb of the Ahlul Bayt. The Ahlul Bayt have some amount of ilmul ghayb. Alright, plenty of hadith on this. People, this is only a very insignificant part of who they are. But I'm saying they're just trying to show they are extraordinary. Alright, according to the ahadith, if we are wanting to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be through the Ahlul Bayt. There is no other way. There is no other way. Tawassul to the Ahlul Bayt. Begging and pleading. One of the urafa, you know how he reached, or when he reached, a very high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As they say, the veils were removed. They have this concept for them. Again, it's not something that I really understand. It's something that they talk about. We hear, we have a limited understanding of, but it's something. Right now, we kind of like, in a sense, have curtains and veils on our eyes. We only see the material world. But if one develops themselves, then they start seeing the ayat of Allah that are not material. They start seeing it, not again with the eyes, with the heart. With the soul, they start to see it. That's referred to as the removal of the veils. They said he made this nadr, he walked on foot, maybe even barefooted, from Najaf to Karbala. Okay. And interestingly, for those who have any doubts in regards to this in their minds, when he went to the haram of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Salamullah alayhi, at Maghrib time, that's when the curtains were removed, the veils were removed, and he was able to see. All right, he have to plead, you have to beg, you have to. One of the other Hurafa says, I saw there's this person, but he's known as Al-Haddad. Okay. Said, I saw him in Masjid al-Sahla, a beautiful masjid, one that has a long history of even prophets being there, imams being there, the worships of the imams being there. There is an area in that masjid that is referred to as Maqam Sahib al-Zaman. It's an area that is associated, and I don't know if people have actually witnessed him there or not, but at least it's associated with our imam. He says that I saw this man, Haddad, in the middle of the night, whispering and crying and weeping and calling on the imam of our time. This is before he starts his night prayer, Salatul Layl. Calling upon him, asking him for help, and saying that, you know, we have nothing, and you are the ones that have been appointed and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek your help. Right, this is how one can arrive at that. When we seek tawassul of the Ahlul Bayt, unfortunately, we remember them, we cry for them in Muharram and all of that. And then when it comes time to ask them for something, all we hear being asked is things that are related to the dunya, to the less important part of our life. We have some ill that requires to be cured. Okay, that's good. Ask for that. We're in a tight financial situation. We need help. Okay, great. Ask for that. It's not wrong to ask. But that's not the more important one. Ask for something that's even more important. So we hope that we're able to implement that. I want to quickly make that transition and start on the family issues, inshallah. And we're going to be discussing this for a few nights. First principle that I want to say, remember, we want to understand and we want to arrive at the destination of becoming the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will reach the point of liqa of Allah. We want to do that. We want to learn how this can be. How we can arrive at a status that we are actually witnessing God. Something that no other creation can receive. Okay. Something that's more enjoyable than everything, not even compared to any of the joys of this world. We want to reach there, all right? We said servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the key. That servitude, we emphasize on this, that servitude is not limited to what we know as worship, prayer and fast and so on and so forth. That helps us come to the understanding, but it's not enough. It is not enough. Our entire lives in this world are a life, or we are put here as a bala. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Everything that happens in this world is there to test us. That means in every dimension in our life, every step of the way, everything that happens, we have a test that we need to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. Up to now, what we've talked about has been the easy part. It's just between us and God. All right? Dealing with that. Trying to wake up in the middle of the night. Trying to make our time such that we pray on time. Trying to focus, contemplate, reflect. All of that is easy. Because we're dealing with us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when it comes to our relationship with others, this is where it starts to get a little more difficult. We are an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our relationship with others as well. I didn't get to talk about the phrase La ilaha illallah. When we say La ilaha illallah, there is no deity, there is no God except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means there is no one that I will be worshipping except for God. But you know what the biggest obstacle is? What the biggest idol is? What the greatest ilah that we consider an ilah, a God that we worship, most of us worship, and that's going to be the last idol to get rid of, is the idol of the self and the nafs. Okay. Hawa. The desires. Al-ayadu billah, a lot of times we even do Islamic work for that nafs. We get up, recite poetry for that nafs. We want to give food in the masjid for the nafs, not for God. I want my name to be mentioned. I want people to hear that. I want me to be the one who does this or the other. The nafs is the most dangerous enemy of ours is the nafs. Okay. We are treating others, our relationship with others, we have got to implement that La ilaha illallah. We've got to implement that idea that we serve no one except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not here to serve the desires and the nafs. This is the first point. In our relationship with others, it's not about how I feel. Recite a salawat, please. It's not about how I feel, how I have been treated. Okay. It's about, okay, how I've been treated, how does God say to deal with that situation? That's what I'm going to do. This is what we need to try to develop in ourselves. Now, in dealing with others, the first step of the way is the family. The first people that we deal with in this world as children is a family. And the people that we are supposed to be dealing with more than everybody else are the family members. First principle in regards to the family. Very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very extremely sensitive about the family. Unlike the Western lifestyle, Western standards. Western standards, family is not important. Whether it's the relationship between the spouses, and you can easily, it's even lost, family has lost the element of marriage even. People come, live together for a while, then they decide not to continue that. Somebody else, and that type of a relationship, which has destroyed the foundation of the family. Or its relationship with other family members. Uncles and aunts, cousins, relationship, it's not there. You'll be lucky if you're a parent and your children are having contact with you. In certain areas, in rural areas it's a little better, a little, that's changing as well. But, I know this because that's part of my family. This is Western standards, okay? The Western lifestyle, the Western teachings, which of course, not all Westerners have willingly accepted this and like this idea, but by remaining silent, by following what has been given to them and taught through television and cartoons, disrespecting everybody, disrespecting parents and all of that, which is something that the cartoons and the movies, everything teaches. You have respect for no one. Okay, we have bought onto that by remaining silent, by buying those cartoons, by allowing that poisonous influence to come to the children. This is Western. Okay. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran and through the Ahlul Bayt is completely different. There's a number of verses that talk about this. That we need to keep the family together. Alright? It's an extremely important principle. Based on this principle, there are many laws that are set out. Okay, this is an ideal. Keep the family together. Based on that ideal, based on that guideline, there's even laws that have been made. Whether it's related, again, to the relationship of the spouses, husband and wife. Partially, again, I don't have time right now to explain this, how it's related to the topic. But very briefly, I'll put this out there. Food for thought, those who want to follow this up. Have you ever thought why only one party in a marriage has the right to divorce? It's not both parties. Okay. If you gather all the information related to divorce, all of the ahadith that we have related to it, the verses that we have, and put them together, the end result is this. It's a necessity that God wants to avoid as much as possible. Okay. So, if it's possible to keep the family together with whatever means possible, that's what needs to happen. So instead of allowing both parties, it's a necessity, somebody's got to have that right. But instead of saying, okay, whoever decided to, we're going to give that right to them, God says, no, let's limit that. So we limit the possibility of divorce occurring. Who is it out of the two? It's given to the men. Why? That's another story. Again, as I said, that's part of it. I don't have time to discuss the whole thing. The instructions that we have in regards to bringing the family together, the treatment of the spouses of one another, to try to keep that going. So many verses talk about this. Trying to keep it going. Again, that's completely opposite to Western culture. That you don't even have to get married. Once you get married, anytime, divorce either party for ridiculous reasons. Who cares about the children? And so on and so forth. Islam says, no, that's not the case. Family has got to keep itself together. Or it's the extended family, or the relationship even after marriage with one's parents, one's relatives. The principle is that this needs to be kept together. Now, tonight I want to talk about, I want to leave the relationship between the spouses for some of the following nights. Tonight I want to talk about the family members in general, those who are related to us by blood. Parents, siblings, uncles, aunts, cousins, second cousins, third cousins, and so on and so forth. There are verses about keeping that together, and it's wajib, it's an obligation to keep the ties, keep the relationship going. We have no right to cut off that. A couple of verses. This is not even hadith. As I said, when you find something in the Holy Quran, that means it's very important. Okay. One verse. Surah Ar-Ra'd. I had written, there's a comparison made in Surah Ar-Ra'd between believers and non-believers. And in this comparison, one of the qualities of the believers is وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. They connect with what God has said to keep the connections. Okay. And then what it wants to refer to and describe the disbelievers, comparing them to the believers, it says, وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهَدَ اللَّهُ مِن بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ. The disbelievers cut off the relationship that God has set to keep. There are two levels of understanding regarding these verses. One is the regular and one is beyond that. The normal understanding of that, the non-batn, the zahir, the apparent meaning of that according to the ahadith, is exactly what we're talking about. أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ. The relationship, the connection has got to be there. Okay. Who is it? Rahim, those that are connected to us through bloodline. Okay. It's parents, siblings, uncles, aunts, cousins, all of them. They are going to be considered Rahim. At a higher level, maybe in some other time, some other occasion, it talks about the Rahim of the Ahlul Bayt, connecting, having that connection with the Ahlul Bayt. That's at a different level. What we're discussing. He says, the believers are those that obviously if there's an amr, if there's a command, an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep those ties, then the believers are those that are going to uphold that. They're going to keep up that relationship. Another instance of this, there's many times in the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to Bani Israel, and it's he says that they, or to others as well, to people that are Ahlul Fisq, the Fasiqeen, one of their qualities is يَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ. They cut off what God had said you need to connect. Okay. Referring again to that relationship between family members. Very important to keep that family together. You can't cut it off. You can't cut that relationship off. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 2, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. Be wary of the God that you are going to be asked about in regards to Him and Al-Arham. You're going to be asked about Al-Arham, your relatives. Okay. So this is very, very important. Let me read. I was going to read some hadith, and I'm going to do that, although it's going to take some time, but I feel it important to read over some of the ahadith that we have. Recite a salawat, please. This hadith is from Ishaq ibn Ammar, one of the companions of the sixth Imam, salamullah alayhi. He says, بلغني عن أبي عبد الله عليه الصلاة والسلام أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله فقال يا رسول الله. He says, I heard that the Imam said, someone went to the Holy Prophet and told the Holy Prophet the following, يا رسول الله أهل بيتي أبوا إلا توثبا علي وقطيعة لي وشتيمة. My relatives, listen to this, this is very important for all of us. My relatives, okay, the relationship that they have with me is the following. Every time I see them, instead of greeting, I'm kind of describing the scene, I'm not literally translating this. Every time I see them, instead of saying salams to me, instead of greeting me, instead of being kind to me, they upset me. They use foul language. They disrespect me. They mistreat me. Okay? This is all they do to me. And they don't want to keep any relationship with me. They don't want to keep it up. I've tried with them. I've gone to them. I've said salams to them and so on and so forth. They're the ones that are not willing to have any relationship with me. Okay. So, okay, this is describing the situation. What's the question? He says, فَأَرْفِضُهُمْ. Can I reject them? Can I leave them? Can I not bother? Forget about them. They don't want to be with me. All right, great. I tried. I'll just live my life. I don't need to give them a call. They don't want to hear me. All right. I'll let them enjoy life without hearing my voice. I won't call them. They don't want to see me. I won't see them. So he says, do I get to just reject them? قال, the Holy Prophet has said according to his, إِذَن يَرْفَضُكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. If you do that, God will reject all of you. Okay. This is very important. Remember, we're talking about what? Achieving that utmost. We're not talking about just punishments and all of that. If anyone is looking for spirituality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you're trying to meet, reach the liqa of, which is the goal of your creation, He's going to reject you. You know, I don't want to see you. You don't want to see your family members? I don't want to see you. This is, إِذَن يَرْفَضُكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Allah is going to reject all of you. So it's okay, so it's difficult. فَكَيْفَ أَصْنَعُ. What should I do? This is how they treat me. What am I supposed to do? قَال, the Prophet says, as difficult as it is, we're the slaves of Allah. This is what he says. تَصِلُ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ. whoever cuts relationship with you, you give them a call, they give you a cold shoulder, they don't seem interested in talking to you, they talk about things you don't like, all right? You feel bad just calling them because you don't feel welcomed, all right? These are examples. He says, no, try to connect with them. It's okay. Give them a short call. Say salam, how are you? Even if it's just that. Even if it's just salam, how are you? Just wanted to hear your voice. Fi amanallah, khuda hafiz, whatever. Hang up. See them, hello, how are you? With a smile, kindness. Tasil man qata'ak, wa tu'ati man haramak. The one who would never help you. This is another thing. See, we have ego. We have that nafs and we want to follow it. Oh, I asked them for help sometime and they didn't give me. I needed this. I asked them for this. I asked them for a car. I asked them to drop off my kids. I asked them to do this. I asked them to do that. They didn't do that for me. Before they even ask you if you know they need help, it doesn't matter what they've done. Go try to give them help. This is what the Holy Prophet says. You want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how you do it. It's not just about prayers. You have to go and do this. وَتَعْفُوا عَن مَّن ظَلَمَكَ. Gotta learn, in this world, forgive. If Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. And the way we look at ourselves, I'm speaking for myself, I gotta be ashamed of myself. Like, we consider, we bring 1,001 excuses as well. Somebody disrespects us, oh, he disrespected me. I even bring some religious excuse for it. A mu'min has got to have izzatun nafs, okay? I can't let them put a believer down, okay? Religious excuses. Are you better or Amir al-Mu'mineen? They came to Amir al-Mu'mineen, they spat in his face. In front of people, how much disrespect is that? Someone comes and says something to you in the privacy of your room, how much disrespect is that compared to them coming and shouting at you and singling you out and saying things to you in public and then spitting in your face? Which one's worse? They do it in front of people, okay? In public, cursing. Amir al-Mu'mineen didn't even bother. He went to the masjid. They told him this is Ali. He got scared. He went to the masjid to ask forgiveness. He saw Amir al-Mu'mineen asking God to forgive this man. Okay. We have to forgive. It doesn't matter what they do. Get it out of your heart. That's one of the problems. We gather this hatred in our hearts. I've seen some really terrible things. I've heard some really terrible things, brothers and sisters. I hope it's not true. I hope it's not true. I've seen in some communities, I hope you don't have much of it or any of it, inshallah, in your community. But it's a serious problem. Hatred that causes a father not to speak to her own daughter, and every time he would speak to her, speaking in a very disrespectful manner because of a hatred, a grudge that one holds against a person. Even if they were wrong, forgive. Get it out of your heart. Flush it out of your system. Get rid of it. Unless you forgive, you're not going to be able to treat them the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Right. And remember this hadith, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. We have plenty of hadith on this. If you like to be forgiven by Allah, you need to forgive others. Okay? If you want to be forgiven, there's loads of things. I know for myself, there's loads of things I really need forgiveness for. You got to forgive others. Get it out of your system. And be kind to them. Show them kindness. Then he says, practically, the situation was, he's saying, my relatives are constantly disrespecting me. It's difficult, right? If really we are sincere, because a lot of times we're not. A lot of times this is not our situation. We have this illusion that whatever I do is right, everybody else is mistreating me. Yeah, it's her, it's my wife, it's my father, it's my mother, it's my child, it's my uncle, it's my relatives. They don't know how to speak, they don't know how to do this, they are disrespecting me, they're not helping me out. A lot of times it's like that, it's not really true. But sometimes it is. There are some real sincere believers that you see them, they are really trying to keep their calm. They're trying to be nice. They forgive a lot. But still, the other party is really, really bad akhlaq. Really, really bad akhlaq. Bad behavior, bad treatment. Okay? So for a lot of us, this is not even the case. All right? But for someone that is, let's assume that we're right. We got problems, right? The other party, usually it's both parties. Usually it's both parties. It's not only one side. I have done something, they have done something, okay. I need to go and ask forgiveness and ask God to forgive me. And they need to come to the recognition. They may come or they may not come to that recognition, realization that they've done wrong. All right. So up to now, you do all of this, you're going to get close to God. But something interesting that the Holy Prophet says, that's a practical advice. Like, it helps us. It shows us that this is a solution in our worldly life as well, in this dunya. He says, if you do that, إِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ كَانَ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ ظَهِيرٌ. Okay. Allah will help you in your relationship with them. Okay. That's the best thing. Brothers and sisters, we have no control over things that happen around us. If God can make it happen, then that's really something. But otherwise, if we don't get God's help and we really have a family problem, right? It can continue over years and sometimes, God forbid, decades. Al-ayadu billah, some of the family problems that we have. All right? But God can resolve that. God is in control of the hearts. God can make things better. Okay. So if you're not both parties, you're only doing your share. But if you do this, if this is your relationship with them, who you seem at least to see that they are the ones that are mistreating you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to help you out. And one of the greatest sins that we have, that we're going to talk about a bit more, is قَطِيعَةُ الرَّحِيمِ. Cutting off that relationship. Al-ayadu billah. One of the greatest sins. Greatest. Nothing is an excuse. Nothing. Absolutely nothing is an excuse. Even not being Muslim is an excuse. Being the enemy of God is not even an excuse to cut off all ties. Okay? Nothing is an excuse. Much less if they're both, if that person is a believer in the Ahlul Bayt as well. I don't want to make that up. It's time for Maghrib. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Imam of our time, by the rights of the Ahlul Bayt, that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the rights of the Imam of our time, that he helps us build ourselves, develop ourselves, so that inshallah we can become true companions and soldiers of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to build those bridges, those gaps, those relations, or bring our families back together. The close families, the more distant relatives, all of that. Try to keep it, the spouses, husband and wife, bring all of that together, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all those who are helping the cause of Islam, especially the maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that he forgives us all of our sins. He forgives our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, those who are alive, those who've left this world, as well as all the believers alive or those who have passed away. We ask him to forgive them all of their sins during this blessed month and at this very noble moment of Maghrib. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all the believers their requests, their needs, their hajat. Relieve them all of the hardships, difficulties, pains. If there's any ill in this community, relatives of the community members, other believers across the world, across the globe, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them and to give them cure. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions that they're facing, inshallah. Bin Nabi wa alihi rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat.